bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Reiner, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Let me begin today by asking you, how would you evaluate your personal prayer life? For example, do you pray? How often do you pray? Why do you pray? What do you pray for? And even, who do you pray to? If you are a professed Christian and pray to the God of Scripture, do you find that your prayer ministry reflects the teachings of Scripture? Or do you sort of make it up as you go along? Do you find your prayer life frustrating because it seems like God never answers you the way that you would want Him to? Well, prayer is a very comprehensive subject. And to get a full understanding of it, we need to examine all that we can in terms of what the Bible has to say about it. And today in our study of James, he reveals some very important features that will help us to experience greater power and effectiveness in our prayer life. For example, he reveals the kind of person that God most often listens to, the kind of prayer that God most often responds to, and he even provides an awesome illustration to prove his point. So if you want to learn more about prayer, then join with us as we study from James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. But first, let's be encouraged by this rendition of the great hymn, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Several weeks ago, I made the observation that this closing section of James's letter, beginning with verse 13, consisted of two principal parts, verses 13 through 18 and verses 19 and 20. Today, we come to the conclusion of this first and much larger part as we examine verses 16 through 18. This will then leave us with the smaller and final section of verses 19 and 20 to complete our expositional study of the book of James. Beginning with the last part of verse 16 and continuing through to verse 18, James presents something of a capstone regarding his emphasis on the place and function of prayer in one's life. And remember, prayer has been one of the key focal points of this entire section, being mentioned 7 times in 6 verses, that is, in verses 13 through 18. This large number of occurrences in this section clearly reveal the prominence and the priority that prayer is to have in the lives of those who spend their time seeking God in their daily walk. And this capstone that James provides, relating to his instructions about prayer, focuses on the availing power of prayer. That is, prayer that accomplishes things, prayer that brings results, by noting what is necessary in order to actually experience such power in one's prayer life. And the answer provided by James is summed up in the latter part of verse 16, where he writes, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." In fact, this is going to be the focus of our study for today, because in this passage, James reveals 2 features of availing prayer. That is, prayer that produces results. The first feature relates something of the conditions that are involved. And this focuses specifically on 2 things. First of all, the person of prayer. And secondly, the nature of their prayer. Now, the second feature of availing prayer is revealed in a demonstration where James illustrates the power of availing prayer in the life of Elijah. Now, with these thoughts in mind, please read with me from James chapter 5, the last part of verse 16 through verse 18. Beginning in verse 16, that James writes, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." Now, once again, the pivotal point of this section, James's capstone regarding his teachings on prayer, is to demonstrate not only the power of prayer, but also certain conditions that must be evident in order to experience that power, or to see the evidence of that power in terms of the results that availing prayer brings. Now, before we begin to look at our first point, I want to spend just a moment noting the significance of 2 important terms. The first one is prayer, and the second is avails. I believe understanding these terms will help us to better understand the point that James is making and the flow of his presentation. First of all, the term prayer. The term prayer here is actually a different one from what has been used in the preceding verses, even from the one used in the first part of verse 16. The term used prior to this is a more general term for prayer and basically refers to the act of praying, inclusive of all the basic elements that we would normally associate with the idea of prayer. The particular term used here in the last part of verse 16 speaks more of the idea of petition or supplication, that is, praying for specific things or praying for specific benefits. You may remember from previous studies my mentioning of the acrostic ACTS, that is, A, C, T, S, as it relates to the content of prayer. In other words, prayer should be marked by a definite content, and each letter of the acrostic represents a vital component that marks the content of true biblical prayer. For example, A stands for adoration, C stands for confession, T stands for thanksgiving, and S stands for supplications. All of these are vital and necessary features of true biblical prayer. Now, supplication is further divided into two more parts, consisting first of all of intercession and secondly of petitions. Now, in essence, intercession is asking God for something on behalf of someone else. And petition usually involves asking God for something for ourselves. But both of these have a common bond in the sense that they both imply asking God for something. So the power of prayer here seems to be keyed specifically in having our petitions or requests answered in the affirmative, or simply having God say yes to our prayers. Now, the second term that I want to note is avails. This term speaks of strength. It means to be strong, to be of use, to be effective, or to be capable of producing results. And its modifier, much, has the meaning of many, largely, abundant, and plenteous. Here it speaks of the extent or the degree that this prayer avails. In other words, this prayer is capable of not producing a little. Rather, this kind of prayer has the ability to produce abundant results. It is a force to be reckoned with because it is highly effective. Now, how many of us can honestly say that this characterizes our prayer life on a regular basis? How many of us can legitimately say that our prayers are the kind of prayers that gets results, that gets things done? And I'm not talking about occasionally. I'm talking about on a regular basis. Well, one of the reasons why some are not as effective in their prayer ministry is because they fail to meet two of the conditions that are set forth in this passage. And this brings us to our first major point. The first feature of availing prayer, prayer that produces results, involves the conditions that must be met. And there are two of them. Now, I want you to notice again the last part of verse 16 where James writes, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The first condition of availing prayer focuses on the person of prayer, and this is seen in the words of a righteous man. The term righteous modifies man, telling us specifically the kind of person that tends to be highly effective in their prayer life. And in terms of context, we are referring primarily to the petitionary nature of prayer. Again, asking God for something. Now, the term righteous, according to research, has the basic idea of right justice. And because of its grammatical function here, it refers to the one who acts conformably to justice and to that which is right. So the person who is righteous means that he conforms in his actions to his character, which is just. In a loose way, we would say that he practices what he preaches, and not just externally or outwardly, but actions that flow from an internal source of righteousness as well. That is, an internal source of love and passion for God and obedience to his word. You see, one of the basic premises of Scripture is that because of our fall into sin and corruption, no one, and I mean no one, is able to live in perfect conformity to the standards of God's law. But because of the nature and character of God, he demands perfect obedience, absolute total conformity, which simply means that on our own as sinners, we are legally declared unrighteous, deserving of everlasting torment in hell, and that the only way that we can hope to stand righteous before God is through the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a righteousness which is received and applied by the grace of faith alone. This is why we can never be saved based on our own works, because all of our works, all of our efforts are tainted by the corruption of our sin. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way in his prophecy. He writes, "All of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags." So the bottom line is that we can never earn or merit our legal standing before God based upon our own works. We can only hope to be justified by receiving the righteousness of Christ through faith. It is only by the righteousness of Christ that sinners can stand legally declared righteous before God. However, this positional righteousness also has moral consequences for believers in terms of how they live before God on a daily basis. One resource puts it this way. In the New Testament, those are called righteous who have conditioned their lives by the standard which is not theirs, but God's. They are the people related to God who, as a result of this relationship, walk with God. A righteous person is one justified by faith and showing forth his faith by his works, which you may remember is a major theme of James in chapter 2. But in other words, the righteous person is not only righteous in the sense of his position before God, again, his legal standing, he is also righteous in a non-deserving or in a non-meritorious way as he lives in faithful, loving obedience to the teachings of Scripture. And again, we're not simply talking about externally, that is, doing the right things, but with all of the wrong motives and attitudes. Rather, he is one who does the right things because of a love for God in what he has graciously done for him in saving him from his sins by his grace. So if our prayers don't seem to accomplish a great deal, it may be because we are not living right. Or perhaps it's better to say, we are not living righteously. Our lives may be marked by a growing sense of frustration and ineffectiveness in the spiritual discipline of prayer because of inappropriate prayer or abuses in prayer. And this may be the result of unconfessed sin, of growing selfishness, of refusing to be forgiving to others, and neglecting the priority and the activity of reading, studying, and practicing the Word of God. But the point in all of this is that these negative things and others influence our prayer life. And so James's emphasis is that one of the crucial elements of availing prayer is that they come from a righteous person. This is the kind of person that God most often responds to. As someone once said, why should God be interested in hearing from us in our prayers when we haven't been interested in hearing from Him in His Word? And more to the point, when we haven't been interested in doing His Word. So the first condition of availing prayer is the person of prayer. And this person must be a righteous individual. He must be living righteously before God. Now, the second condition of availing prayer focuses on the nature of their prayer. Note again in verse 16 that James says it is the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. The terms effective and fervent are actually a translation from a single Greek verb in the original language. And that verb comes from a root term, energeo, from which we get our English word for energy. And the basic meaning is to be active and energetic, or to cause effect. In other words, by the very nature of power, of force, or energy, it creates or contributes toward effect in its application. Or in scientific terms, energy is the capacity to do work. No work of any kind can be done without energy in some form. And so what James seems to be referencing is our petitions. Petitions that have power, petitions that have energy, or petitions that have been energized. In fact, one translation of this verse reads like this: the energized supplication of a righteous man avails much. The picture here is of someone engaged in supplicationary prayer in which the petitions or the intercessions that have been offered up are not empty of power and faith. They are not cold and lifeless, represented perhaps of some of the prayers of those who simply find themselves going through the motions. Rather, these are petitions that have been energized. They have operative power to secure results. And this operative power seems to be directly related to the presence and influence of the Holy Spirit, who is working freely in the life of the person who is practicing righteousness, the one who is genuinely attempting to live Christ by their humble love and obedience to God and His Word. You see, humility and loving obedience goes a long way in unleashing the power and influence of the Holy Spirit in one's life, and especially in this instance regarding prayer. Because righteous living naturally presupposes an individual who is seeking to know God's Word and who is seeking to do God's Word. And this also has a tremendous influence on how one prays and why one prays, as well as the results of his prayers. You see, this energized petitions that James is speaking of, coupled with righteous living, tend to play off each other, so that the opposite can be equally true as well. If we are living unrighteous lives, that is, if we are failing to be obedient to the teachings of Scripture, especially to those things that we know to be true, then this unrighteous living will negatively influence our prayer life, and we will find ourselves praying selfishly or praying in unbelief and perhaps not even praying at all. So the second condition of availing prayer has to do with the nature of the prayer of the righteous individual. Now, this brings us to our second major feature of availing prayer, and that is its demonstration in the life of Elijah. Notice verses 17 and 18. Here, James writes, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." Now, for the sake of time, our comments here are going to be very brief. First of all, let me say again that the primary purpose of James here in these verses was not to give a detailed theology of prayer. There are simply too many vital elements that are missing. Elements that can only be found with a general study of prayer throughout Scripture. Rather, James's purpose seems to be simply to emphasize the fact that there is power in prayer, and that this power or effectiveness is linked to two key issues. First of all, it is linked to our character, and secondly, it is linked into how we pray. And he gives this illustration to demonstrate his point. Closing out, one writer says, "Here was a man whose prayers were heard and answered. Lest anyone think it was because of something peculiar about the makeup of Elijah, James pointed out that Elijah was similar in nature to every other man. Therefore, if God heard and answered his prayers, he will also hear and answer our prayers when they are offered in the same spirit as those of Elijah. If the prayer of a man can be so effective in controlling the weather, certainly God's people should not be hesitant in prayer concerning the things which are of significance in their lives. Prayer has power beyond the highest imagination of man." So again, understand, there is power in prayer. And if your prayer life is not what it should be, it may be because there is unconfessed sin in your life, sin that is disrupting your prayer life because the Holy Spirit cannot work effectively through you as long as you are tainted by sin. It is when we free up that sin through confession that the Holy Spirit works freely in our lives. Or it may be that you are not passionate in your prayers. Somehow you don't truly believe what you're praying, either in your petitions, or you don't think that God will respond to you for whatever reason. You see, as we look at this passage, we cannot isolate many of the other things about prayer that the Word of God teaches. Again, that was not James's principal focal point. It was simply to encourage us to the fact that there is power in prayer and that there are certain conditions that must be met. And so in that, we have to have a broader understanding of prayer to appreciate what James is saying here. So again, are we praying passionately and intently? Are our prayers energized not only from righteous living, in which we are growing closer to God, in which we are growing in our hatred for sin and a love for righteousness and to see righteousness prevail, because these things will influence what we ask for. But we need to bring that over into that passion of praying very strongly, very intently, believing that we shall have the petitions that we ask as long as they conform to the will of God. So if you are a believer, there can be power in your prayers. Your prayer life is a great source of potential power, untapped resources that can be made available for the benefit of you, your loved ones, your local church, and for the church at large in this world. It can be a vehicle used to transform your life and to transform the lives of others. But let us have that desire to learn to be a people of prayer. With those thoughts in mind, may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's Holy Word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.